Shall we once again turn to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. Gospel according to Luke chapter 5. And if you're using the church Bible, they said it, you'll find it on 1030. 1030. Chapter 5, and we shall read verse 10. Verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And the title this evening is Making Disciples Fishers of Men. Now, Peter and his colleagues were fishermen. As usual, they went fishing, but having spent a whole night on the seas, they caught nothing. Not one fish from the vast lake. So the ships were empty and were standing by the lake, and the fishermen were washing their nets. The Lord Jesus Christ made his way towards the Lake of Galilee. Obviously, people were following him. And Jesus prayed to Simon, meaning Jesus requested Simon. In our language, it would be, please. Please. Jesus is polite. Jesus asks Simon that he should take the boat a little further in the water. We are told Jesus prayed. Jesus, the Son of God, is polite. His manner is gentlemanly. He could have easily commanded Simon to take the boat a little further. But Jesus requested, he said, please. You know, any nation, any individual that bases their lives and the government of the nation bases their life and the religion of the nation bases their religion on the book, the Bible, they are influenced by the Bible. The Bible influenced their entire life. And we can be polite. We learn to be polite and gentle and kind. But even then, even though we may be polite, yet, it can be that we don't obey God. Politeness, of course, goes a long way. It spreads peace. It brings calmness. It builds friendship. The more ungodly a society becomes, the more it becomes rude, impolite, mannerless. And you'll notice that the children today don't even say thank you or please. Why? They have no fear of God. They have not been taught in the ways of the Lord, in the schools, in the colleges, in the universities. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, now turning to Jesus again, Jesus then began preaching and teaching the multitude on the beach. And after he finished, Jesus asked Simon to launch out into the deep, to take the boat into the deep and let down the nets for a catch of fish. But Simon answered and said to Jesus, as we see in verse 5, Master, we have toiled all night. We have worked, we have labored the whole night and have taken nothing. Not one fish. We have not caught one fish. But he said, okay, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great multitude of fishes. And their net break. And they beckoned, they called unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they could come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Amazing, isn't it? Simon and his colleagues were expert fishermen. And this was their livelihood. They were in this trade from their childhood, from a very young age. And they had toiled the whole night, labored the whole night, and they did not catch any fish. Now, sometimes my son goes to the beach to fish in the sea. Now, sometimes all of us as a family, we go there. But once there were many who had come for the whole day to fish. And they were fishing from morning until 6:30 in the evening. They all said that they did not catch one single fish. And I've seen on the beaches of Goa, fishermen returning at midday after toiling the whole night and the whole morning, and they come on the beach empty, without anything, without a single fish. It is a profession where on the daily basis you can see the hand of God. A mighty big ocean filled with fishes, and yet you can return home after spending the whole night or the whole day without one single fish, unless God ordains it otherwise, unless the Lord provides. We see exactly this happening when the Lord Jesus Christ asks Peter to take the boat in the deep and cast the net in the sea. Peter, it looked like, protested, but then said, at your word. Okay, at your word, I will do it. And when it was done, they caught great multitude of fishes and their net broke. So they called their colleagues to help, and they filled both the boats, and the boats were so filled that it began to sink. Jesus clearly showed that he has the power and the rule over the fish of the sea. At his word, the fish came into the net. At that moment, Simon Peter, when he saw this, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me. Go away from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The Bible says that the goodness of God should cause men to repent. This is exactly what happened to Simon Peter. He clearly saw the goodness of God in Christ Jesus. He was astonished at Jesus' power over the sea and the fish. He deeply felt that Jesus is not an ordinary man. It did not make him say, "Jesus, you are God," but it made him say that he was a miserable sinner. Well, who can say that he is a miserable sinner unless he sees that he is before the holy and righteous God? It made him feel filthy before Jesus, and he wanted that Jesus should depart from him. "I am unclean, Lord, go away from me." And at that moment, Peter saw the holiness of Christ. At that moment, Peter felt the righteousness of Christ reflecting in his soul. But how ugly his soul was. Dear friends, you may claim to have visions and dreams, and you may receive healings from the Lord, and this is so wonderful. But having seen the Lord, having received His healing touch, have you felt the ugly, sinful soul of yours? Have you felt the sacredness of Christ, the purity of Christ on the one hand, and the filthiness of your soul? How do you feel when all your friends are dressed in their best and you are in the shabby clothes? How do you feel when your friends or relatives come to visit you at your home and you're found in your little worn out clothes, perhaps smelling of food? You feel awkward, is it not? You immediately want to change it. And this is what happens, dear friends, when you meet Christ, your righteous Lord, your Creator, your Savior. The soul suffers a terrible blow because the pure light of Christ shines on your soul and it shows your filthy and disgusting sins, your hidden sin, your sins of unbelief. It showed the true state of your soul. Peter was ashamed of his sins. So he asked the Lord to go away from him. He did not say, "Oh, what a soul I am." He did not say, "Look, because I am a good person, God has come to me and has blessed me." Dear friends, Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if He has touched you and healed you and has truly appeared to you, it is so that you will understand and know that Jesus is God and want to save you from your sins. God says our souls are filthy and we have all gone astray. All gone astray. And Jesus is merciful, and in His mercy, He reveals Himself to sinners like you and me, so that we repent of our sins. Dear friends, ask yourself, when you pray, and if you fast, when you fast, when you go for retreats in some religious centers or do anything relating to Christ, ask yourselves, have I ever felt the disgusting feeling of being a sinner? Ask yourself, have I ever felt that the guilt of my sins have been taken away? Have I ever felt that I'm unworthy to face Christ? Have you ever felt that the sins I used to do, I don't do it anymore? And if this has happened, the Lord has done a wonderful work in your heart. So now continue to believe and obey God and God alone. Jesus' touch, dear friend, is real. Your life changes and you begin to love the Lord above everything. Everything else in the world. Jesus' touch is real. You begin to give up sin and start obeying the Lord without any reservation. Any reservation. Now look, Jesus was not only interested in giving them fish in plenty, He wanted them for His own. He wanted them for His own. Jesus came to build His kingdom. Kingdom of God is made of people. He did not come to give you to the Vatican or to the Church of England or to the Church of Luther or to the church of any other church. Jesus wanted Simon to for himself. He said, follow me. Follow me. So Jesus said to Simon, if you look at verse 10 at the end, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And verse 11, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Jesus said to Simon, fear not, Simon. Simon was afraid at that moment of Jesus. Who will not fear such an awesome person that commands the fish to come where he is? Simon was afraid. What happened to you after your experience if you say that you have been healed? What happened to you if you say if you have had vision of Jesus? What happened to you after you made a decision for Christ? After you made a prayer of commitment? Did the fear of the Most Holy Lord enter into your soul? Did you begin fearing the Lord and to love the Lord? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of living a righteous life. What happened to you? Did you begin to fear Him, adore Him, bow down to Him and honor Him alone and began to worship Him? Or did you make Jesus your buddy? Your buddy, or perhaps your shopkeeper or your delivery boy, constantly asking him to bring this and to give that? Did you make Jesus, the Lord of all creation, your equal, your friend with whom you can casually chat and have fun and keep his friendship as long as he is on your side? Many, many years ago, I read a book in which the author says, talks about plastic Jesus. Plastic Jesus. Which means you can press him, you can contract him, and you can expand him, you can roll him, you can do anything what you want to do. You are in charge, you are in control of Jesus. But that is not how, dear friend, we worship Jesus. This is not how we follow Christ. Christ becomes your Lord, your Master, your King. If this is the case with you, that you have made Jesus a plastic Jesus and you worship Him, then you don't have Jesus in your life, nor the Jesus of the Gospel. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, men tremble and fear to sin. The people of the Lord Jesus Christ revere Him and adore Him and consider themselves as His servants. They rejoice to do His will at all times and willingly want to please Him in all things. Simon feared Christ. Simon Peter feared Christ. Jesus says, fear not. Fear not, for I'm going to draw you to myself. I am going to join you to myself. From now on, you will catch men. You will catch men. Men? Why men? Why would God want men to catch men? Why not fish? Fish brings in money, isn't it? What will we do catching men? Why men? Who are men? Well, if you are reading your Bible, men are the highest creation of God. Men are made in the image and likeness of God. Men or souls are the crown of God's creation. Know this, neither God nor the devil compete for the magnificent creation that God has created on this earth, but their whole attention is on men is on you and me. Their desire is on men. There is a battle going on for souls, your souls, my soul. Whatever God has created centers around mankind. God's ambition, and so also Satan's ambition, is man's soul. It is, if I may say, their lifetime career. The whole heaven is occupied with the souls on earth. Souls are the only entity that is everlasting. Rest of the world, the heavens and the earth, everything that is found in the heavens, under the sea, on the earth, will turn to dust and ashes. So Jesus said, what if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? This means the soul is a priority and highly esteemed by God. Your soul is precious. Souls are so important that the love of Christ moved him to come down to earth and even sacrifice his life. He laid down his life to win you over to him. He paid a ransom by his own blood to redeem, to buy back souls. The Bible says that he has purchased his people by offering his blood. Salvation is free because of what Christ has done on the cross for you and me. Moreover, the inheritance that God promised to Christ, his sons, are souls. God the Father did not promise him the material universe and the riches of this earth. He promised him souls, men, women, young people, children. But Satan, on the other hand, promises people the world, the material world. God promised Christ souls. Satan promises people things which God will one day destroy. But God promises eternal things. Eternal things. And look, Satan buys souls by giving them the world. Christ purchases souls by sacrificing his life, shedding his blood, and breaking down his body, dying and getting buried. He dies so that his life may enter into the souls he wants to purchase and make them his own forever and give them the gift of forgiveness, joy, peace, love, eternal life with God. What a mighty God. What a loving God we have. So, dear friends, if such is the value of souls, if such is the ambition and career of God, what should be your highest ambition in life? Love for yourself? Love for money and comfort and position and fame and name? As a Christian, you should know that this life and worldly ambition is temporary. Souls are for eternity. And so the Lord Jesus Christ plants his desire and ambition in his chosen people. If you are saved by his grace, if you have repented of your sin and Christ has come to dwell in you, you have become his. And so he plants his desire and ambition. The Lord plants the desire, you know, in his chosen people, and henceforth then you catch men. Men who are not saved become your priority. Yes, he was going to make them the fishers of men. Fishers of men. Brethren, what are you running after? If it is the things of the world, it is wind. What are you laboring for? wind. You can take nothing with you when you pass from here after death into another life. As Ecclesiastes chapter 5 tells us, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor. No matter how much we work here, how much we labor here, we can take nothing with us when we die. And this also is so evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? The Lord values labor, no doubt about it. The Lord values labor. Labor, work, is something that God has given to us as a gift. Given to us as a gift. Imagine he just lays you aside and you can do nothing. How miserable you and I will feel, isn't it? So labor is good, there's no doubt about it. But for the child of God, the labor he has called to do is to catch men and turn them to Christ. This is our treasure. This is our crowns. And this treasure will never fade away. Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For you are our glory and joy." You see, Apostle Paul and the rest of the apostles and his fellow workers, they went about preaching the gospel. Now remember, Paul worked, he labored also, there's no doubt about it, but at the same time, his whole interest was to go out and make known Christ Jesus and to win soul for the Lord. And so he told those who came to Christ through his ministry, he said, "You are our glory and joy." Dear friends, with what will you go before the Lord when you pass from this life into the life eternal? What will you offer Christ, your Savior? Money? Gold? Dollars? Sterling pounds? No. No. None of this will go along with you. But the souls that you have ministered to, whether they be children or adults, the soul that you have prayed for their salvation, the souls whom you gave the gospel and the souls you reached out in time of need and the souls of those that were saved by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and your holy and righteous living, these will be your crowns and these will be your ornaments round your neck forever. Forever. The Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, is calling you, dear friends, is calling me to win souls. The Lord Jesus Christ is asking you and me to introduce Jesus to men that, like Peter, they will meet Him, encounter Him through His words as you speak to them, and they will recognize their true self, that they are sinners, and they will follow Christ. Don't linger. The time is short. The Bible commands us to redeem the time. Time once lost will not return back. Go and become fishers of men. Catch men. If you catch fish, you will eat it, enjoy it for a while, and it is gone. If you catch men, they are yours for life. Life eternal. Well, how are you spending your time right now? How are you spending your time right now? It is a command of the Lord to go and catch men. Jesus Christ has given a great commission to His people, unless you are not His people. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 onward, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Now, this does not mean Jesus did not say, "Go and force somebody to get baptized." No, not at all. That has never been the teaching of Christ and His apostles, nor of God. If you read the parable that Jesus talks about, the parable of the prodigal son, when he demanded that you give, he told his father, "Give me whatever is mine. I want to go away. I don't want to live in this house." And the father said, "Okay, take your things and go." And we see that the father never forced him. And God does not force you. And then what happens to this man, young man, who wanted his own freedom to live his own way of life? He lost everything. He enjoyed with all manner of things. And he came to a terrible state that he had to eat the food of the pigs. And suddenly he realized that he has sinned against God and his Father. And he returned. He returned. God does not force, dear friends. And so we hear the Lord telling us that we got to but teach, and we got to give the preaching of the gospel. We got to tell people about their lost, that they will lose their life forever in hell. As Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Well, look, when Jesus told them that they will catch men, they left everything and followed Jesus. Why are you following Jesus? Has He not given you any work? Is He not your king? Are you not enrolled in His service? Or are you skiving? Or having begun well with Jesus, now you have turned your back to the Lord? Is coming to church on Sunday all that Christ has commanded you? The disciples, they left everything and followed Jesus. What have you left behind? Of course, you have left your sins behind if you are converted to Christ. And this is so very important. You can do nothing for the Lord if you have not left your sins behind. But if you have left your sins behind, then you will have all the desire to make men, other men, boys and girls, men and women, to leave their sins behind and follow Christ the Lord. Dear friends, brethren, are you engaged in teaching Sunday school or taking a weeknight children's meeting? And all this is good. You must in some ways be engaged in the battle for the souls. Because when you come to Christ, you are saved. You become the soldier of Christ. Soldier of Christ. You know, many people, they become soldiers of their gods in other religions, but they train themselves with sticks and swords and things like that to harm people. Now, that is not how Christ trains us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He makes us meek and humble of heart, and yet He gives us the courage to love our enemies. So that we love them so much that we have one interest, that they may be saved from eternal destruction, from eternal hell. So, dear friends, remember, the most precious item on this earth are the souls. The greatest catch, the greatest treasure that we can collect to go before the Lord are the souls. May you hear Christ's call tonight. and respond to His command, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. Remember, you can empty the whole of diamond fields from Africa into your backyard. You can dig the gold mines of the world and store them in the bank lockers. You can empty all the fish from the sea and place them in mega freezers or take them to the moon. When you die, you'll go empty. But if you catch men and men return to the Lord, they will be your rewards forever. God's greatest treasure on earth are men. Go for them. Let us pray. O gracious Father, the work that Thou hast given to us on this earth to do, to search the lost sheep as it was prayed earlier, Lord, that we may not be afraid, that we may not be ashamed of the gospel, but Lord, that we may take every opportunity and to wait upon Thy Spirit and to pray constantly, Lord, give us divine appointments, give us opportunities to put in the word to the lost souls, people who are in darkness, that they may have the light of Christ in them. And Lord our God, we pray, and we know, Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen us. Yes, we are weak, we are tired, we have so much to do, Lord, but Lord, we know that when we are weak, then we are strong, because Thy grace is sufficient for us. O Lord our God, help us to labor on for Your glory and for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.